When John Updike died in 2009, the nation lost one of its most popular and revered authors. Eulogies poured in from the literary community and beyond, testifying to Updike's stature in the world of arts and letters. Updike's productivity was legendary. He authored 60 books, including 27 novels, and his work showcased his gifts for probing the central themes of modern American life, including religion, sex, and the struggle of the middle class. But Updike's death also kindled a fascination with the author's own life, which acclaimed critic Adam Begley shows in his new biography, Updike, which is out now, published by Harper, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Adam Begley to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
What did kindle that fascination in Updike?
For me?
Yes.
Well, I interviewed him twice when he when I was a journalist, first in 1993 and then in 2003, and I found him to be utterly charming as a man, a really smooth professional writer. And to do those profiles, I had to start reading him in depth, and I found that the deeper you go in Updike, the deeper you get. You understand that he's a man who is after the moral soul of America.
And how much of that do you think was conscious, and how much of it was just the way he was?
He was a very, very careful writer in two ways. One is that he wanted to record contemporary life exactly. And the second is that he wanted that recording of contemporary life to have a deeper meaning. And so there's always a pattern of imagery and a pattern of theme in his work that goes deep below the surface.
You write about his childhood. He grew up in Pennsylvania. Give us a sense of that childhood and how it helped shape him as a writer.
Updike was born at the very bleakest year of the Depression in a small town sandwiched between a growing city, Reading, Pennsylvania, and the countryside. His town was called Shillington, and it was a place of very stable values and very stable geographically. It hardly grew or changed during his childhood. And he grew up really in a world that was picture perfect for a young boy. And it was very difficult for him when he left it. He had a mother who was herself an aspiring writer. And from her, he caught the bug.
And the bug, how did it manifest itself in to his early writings and really what would become such a not only prolific but varied career?
He started really at first wanting to be a cartoonist, believe it or not. He loved to draw and copy comics. And only when he got to high school did he start churning out prose. And he wrote for the high school newspaper. Oh, amazing output for a kid his age. And he started sending out light verse, little funny poems to magazines. And by the time he got to Harvard, where he went on a full scholarship, he started seriously thinking about a career as a writer. And he and his mother corresponded, and the gist of that correspondence was getting John out into the world and turning John into a writer.
When you say turning him into a writer, it is interesting to read about that process, because obviously this is what he wanted to do, but there was also, again, back to the issue of how varied his writing was, of whether it was poetry or essay or criticism or fiction or nonfiction, and that always interested him.
Yeah, he was always a kind of triple threat. He could churn out light verse, which is something that has kind of disappeared today, but he did it brilliantly as a college undergraduate for the Harvard Lampoon, and then did it brilliantly for the New Yorker, and only really stopped writing light verse in middle age. He became a critic in 1960, sometime after he'd left college, but quickly established himself as possibly one of the best literary critics in America. And then, of course, there were the stories and the novels that began tumbling out of him in the late 50s and never stopped until his death.
Were the Rabbit books really the start to his fame, the great success?
Updike's first Rabbit book, Rabbit Run, was a big hit with critics. It struck a chord with readers, and it put him into the conversation. He won a National Book Award 4 years later in 1963 with The Centaur, and that kind of made him famous. But he didn't break out, I wouldn't say, into the mainstream American literary fame until 1968 with Couples, his incendiary book about the adulterous American society.
When you look at the sort of the ongoing works, and especially with Rabbit, was it always the intention to write more of that, or was that market-driven, or was that curiosity on his part?
Updike wrote the second Rabbit book, he says, because people kept asking him what happened to Rabbit at the end of Rabbit Run, where Rabbit runs off into the distance, running away from his family responsibilities once again. And the second Rabbit novel really was an exploration of what would have happened to Rabbit in the 60s. And I think after he wrote the second one, it became clear to him that it was going to be a tetralogy, a series of four books. And I would say that this is not at all market-driven. This was almost entirely about his curiosity about what happens to the everyman in America over the decades. And it's a brilliant record.
You talk in the book about, you use the word tumultuous. That's a safe word to talk about his personal life, right? That it was a tumultuous personal life.
Yes and no. John Updike produced, as you pointed out in your introduction, more than 60 books.
Right.
To do that, you have to spend a lot of time sitting alone in a room. And you have to have room to write. And he managed to arrange life all the way along, so he had that. But in his off hours, shall we say, starting in about 1960, he engaged in quite an active romantic life, adulterous romantic life, that carried on until he married his second wife in 1977.
How did the book, his novel, Couples, sort of tell that story of what he was experiencing and going through?
Couples is a book about a group of friends in a small seaside town who become almost incestuously involved with one another. They're hopping out of each other's bed with alarming frequency. And in fact, this is a pretty much accurate reflection of what was going on in Ipswich, Massachusetts, among Updike and his friends.
And he wrote it upon reflection?
Yes. Things heated up, shall we say, in the mid-60s, and he didn't write it until 67. It came out in 68. It was intended as a satire of this behavior, to really demonstrate the dangers of this behavior to the community, to the people involved, to their children. But he got, I would say, carried away with the joy of writing about the sex, the friendships, the women, and sometimes there's a little confusion in the book about whether we're supposed to be deploring this behavior or celebrating it.
What changed upon his remarriage and both his personal life and in his writing life?
He continued to grow as a writer all along. But he, shall we say that all the entire range of his abilities was established by the time he married his second wife. When he did that, he eventually moved to a much bigger house, really to a mansion in Beverly Farms, Massachusetts. And he, as he himself acknowledged, was a little bit withdrawn from the world at that point. There was a kind of a moat between him and America. And so it made it, shall we say, even more difficult for him to get in touch with every man. But he did his best and continued to write novels that really got to the core of what was going on in the country.
I interviewed him, I guess, three times for various novels. And the first time I interviewed him was for the novel Terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at that work, and of course I had read him for years, but when I look at that work, and even when I look back on it, and you write about it in the biography, it is very much a reflection of what was going on, which he was very used to doing. But in some ways, it was a different type of book.
Well, Updike had to put himself into the mind of a teenage half Arab boy who was a devotee of an imam who was preaching the destruction of America, and so he was trying to get at the rage that an Arab youth might feel, a religious Arab youth might feel against the materialism, the crass materialism of American society. It was a real stretch for him. I thought it was successful. Other critics didn't. But the funny thing is that though he was stretching a long way to get inside Ahmad's head, he was also calling back his memories of Shillington High School in Pennsylvania to get the feel of what it's like to be a high school student.
Hmm.
And as I was reading it, I was quite amazed by the feat of bringing those two disparate elements together.
That is something to point out of the quality of the writing, and even in his last works, of how that quality was so high. As you said earlier, he continued to mature as a writer, and there was really the things that you loved about his most popular writing you could very much see present in his later work.
Well, his very last book, a collection, a slim collection of poems called Endpoint, is in some ways one of his best books. It chronicles his illness, his fatal illness, in the most intimate and lovely way. I mean, it's hard to call lovely descriptions of metastasizing cancer, but he managed to make you be there with him in the hospital, and it's really a remarkable document.
Without getting overly psychological, what impact do you think that had on him as a patient, that act of writing and sharing and working with language as he was dying?
John Updike was always like this. He was intensely observant and focused very closely on what was happening around him, but he was always at a slight remove, and that remove was the writer turning his perceptions into sentences, into ideas, into themes. And in a sense, he was involved with his life, but he also stepped back, and I think in the end that may have been a great source of comfort to him, to be able to not be the person having this happen to be the person writing about the person this was happening to.
The biography is Updike. It is published by Harper. Adam Begley, thank you very much for spending time with us. It's an amazing biography, and I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, simply Updike. It is published by Harper. Adam Begley has been our guest. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.